Blog Talk Radio.
Are y'all ready for the fire talk? Low down on the biz and uplift the dialogue.
Oh, yeah.
Listen right along. This is straight off the press, the remix, fresh with no prior song. Supplying y'all with the certified thoughtful. To get the piece of the piece, it's time to call blow. The raspberry wind is frank and flavorful. Insatiable eardrums take the radio. It can't be beat, the flash of it. Better leave all your doors and all half the week. Positive and motivational strategy. Successful guest promoter, self mastery. BlogTalkRadio.com/the remix. Fridays at 10 p.m. Eastern. Support the sister with a great reason. I must insist, don't miss it this evening. Peace, man.
Greetings, everyone. I want to say welcome, welcome, welcome to The Remix. I am your host, of course, Miss Blue, and you know where you are. You are live in The Remix. I want to say welcome, welcome, welcome to everyone who is joining me here live in the forum tonight. It is March 15th, 2013, and of course, of course, of course, you know where you are. You're live in The Remix. 646-652-2711 is the number to call. Press a 1 once you get on the phone lines and come on in. And definitely would love to have you guys in the house tonight. If you want to listen via the phone, that's all you got to do. If you're calling internationally, you know what to do. 646-652-2711 is the number to call. And all you have to do is dial the U.S. country code and then come all the way in. It is so good to have everyone in the house tonight. I see the chat room is filling up, and whoa, the phone lines have filled up too. So it's so good that you guys know that we do have a remix on Sunday night, and so good to see all of the remix family from all over the world in the house tonight. I'm your host, of course, Miss Blue. And it's good to be here. It's good to be here live in the forum. We had a great share going on last week Sunday night. As you guys know, Dr. Yu of U360 was here, and he did his thing as always, bringing knowledge, information, and wisdom. Love that brother. Amazing spirit and amazing healer. Dr. Yu, part of the Remix family as well. He does the introduction as he comes on, so it's always good to have Dr. Yu in the house. If you didn't get a chance to hear that show, I want you to go back and download that show as well as all of the Remix shows so that you can check it out. You can hear everything and be in tune. Wow. It's Sunday night, you guys. Live in the evening here. I want to give out the international thoughts out here, as we always do. And it's always good to give our international shout out to our brothers and sisters who are out there listening from all over the world. And so let's go ahead and do that. Welcome to The Remix, everyone. If you're in the chat room and you're a guest and you're joining us for the very first time, know that you can sign up. It takes only just a short minute. And it only takes a short minute for you to sign up, and you can do that. Click the link at the bottom, sign up, tell us who you are, come on in, and sign up and tell us who you are. We'd love to have you in the house tonight. All right, you guys. So it's so good. 646-652-2711 is the number to call. And wow, I want to make sure you guys can hear me. What I'm going to do is I'm actually going to put on a little bit of tunes here so we can work out this mic situation and get everything going the way it needs to be going right here in.
and make sure. Can you guys hear me okay? I want to do a little bit of a sound check there and make sure that you guys can hear me and hear me clear. So let's see. Let's see here. All right. All right, you guys. We're going to hear we're going to hear a little bit of tunes here as we get ready to get ourselves situated. I'm so excited to be here. I'm glad it's Friday night.
Ladies and gentlemen,
stop! It's the remix!
This is Blue Raspberry Wayne, and you are live in the remix.
Hey, yeah!
All right, you guys. We're live. Is that much better? Hopefully you guys can hear me, and you can hear me nice and clear. We're going to listen to some Baby Blue, and then we're going to start to get ready to get into the share. Lots of things that we're going to cover here. Lots of things that we're going to be covering here, right here, live in the remix. So, I'm glad to be here. I'm glad it's Friday night. How about you guys? It's been a beautiful week, and it's just going to keep getting better and better. So, let's see, a little bit of Baby Blue here. A little bit of Baby Blue. We're going to find it. Here we go.
La, 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 the remix. Hey, this is Baby Blue. And remember, if nothing else moves you, life will.
All right, you guys. Well, as you guys know, tonight we're going to be talking about the rise of the forgotten goddess Hypatia. And I'm really, really excited to bring this share to you guys as we get ready to get into the share. I want to first talk about some of the things that have been going on this week, because it's been a week. It's been a beautiful week and beautiful things going on. So I see you guys, everyone's getting themselves settled. I want to give our international shout out as we start. We have listeners from all over the world that's listening, and I want to welcome you guys here. Japan is in the house tonight. Bermuda's in the house tonight, which I got to talk to Bermuda and Japan in readings this week. Trinidad is in the house. Bangladesh is in the house tonight. Saudi Arabia. Egypt is in the house. Italy is in the house. Finland is in the house. Let me go back to Egypt. Woo, woo. Big shout out to Egypt because we're going to be doing some work with Egypt tonight. Finland is in the house. Indonesia is in the house. Barbados is in the house. Got a chance to talk to someone there this week. France is in the house. Australia, Brazil, Germany, Jamaica, Austria, Canada, and the UK. By the way, the UK, the sisters and brother in the UK, the brother Patrick and his lovely queen, and also a guest with the sisters, Yo Lisa, and a few others are hosting Neodoma Somme. He's in the UK actually this weekend, and you can find that information over on the Remix Radio page. So if you're in the UK, that would be a great opportunity for you to reach out and see all the wonderful work that's going on over there. So, you guys, what a week. Big shout out to our international listeners, our listeners listening right here in the States. I'm going to have to slow myself down a little bit here. I feel like I'm moving 100 miles an hour. But what a week, you guys. I want to say thank you to everyone who purchased the audio workbook, because that's always amazing. It's a lot of information in the Know Your Magic audio workbook. And I always want to be, I'm very thankful and grateful that the work that has been so helpful for myself, work that I've researched and work that I've done has been so helpful for you guys. So we love getting the feedback. Me and Sister Manya, the sister who works side by side with me and everything for Questions for Blue. And so I just want to thank you guys for that. Now, the readings for this week, I want to talk a little bit about the overall theme. And one of the things that was really, really cool is that the overall theme of the week, just about every single person was really pulling in. I'll tell you the energy they were pulling into their magnetic field. And that was enjoyment. It was about being with friends and family and really exercising their creativity and really getting into all of those things when it comes to creativity. Wow. everything about creativity. Everybody this week had a strong dose of it. I don't care what kind of reading it was. That theme was consistent this week. So I wanted to put that out to you guys. So now, the other thing I found very interesting with everyone I did a reading with this week, they all used the Chem Deck. How cool is that? So they are all using the Chem Deck on a day-to-day basis. And you guys know that the Chem Deck, the Oracle psychic deck, and how it works. You know, the Chem Deck is really one of these tools, of many of the tools that are out here, that really just helps you stay current. It really keeps you in contact with your higher self. Now, how it works is really a conglomeration of all the ancient divination systems kind of rolled up into one. It was what I channeled, the information I channeled from spirit. You know, that deck was based upon a pure channel that I was given, and it involved the I Ching, the Oracle, you know, every divination system you can think about was in there, from the ancient, the binary codes. Everything was comprised in there, using numerology, colors, words, you know, words of power, you know, all of these things, all of that was in there. And the sister who worked with me on the Chem Deck, of course, you guys know pure feminine energy, she channeled all of the images in the deck based upon the channels that I gave her. So it was put together with another brother who put it together with the colors and the numbers and the layout that I gave him. So it is a pure melanated deck. This deck, from the time that it is made, because each one of them are specifically made for you. There is no warehouse where they're just sitting around waiting. But these are all made for you. Whenever you put in your divine request, it's made for you. And hundreds, if not thousands of you at this point, have had the Chem Deck from all over the world. And I have everyone working with them, from other readers who do readings. They use them as their primary source, psychologists, people who are professionally, that's their work in the world, from artists to cooks, from mothers to children to students, college professors, doctors, lawyers, teachers, and mothers, and fathers, and grandfathers, and great-grandfathers, and great-grandmothers, and our little itty-bitty babies are working with the Chem Deck. It is an oracle deck, and it doesn't have any kind of learning curve. So whether you're someone who's never picked up an oracle deck, or you're someone very versed in using this method, you're going to find the Chem Deck a true joy and very, very magical to begin to work with. And the Chem Deck is very important at this particular time. And one of the things that I have discovered is that there's a lot of overactivity in the mind. And really, quite frankly, whenever we have so much of that overactivity in the mind, what it does is it basically causes us to make some jack-of-ass decisions. And so we are constantly in the need of a medium so that we can make confident and very sound decisions about different choices in our lives. And there's so many different ways, you know, to do this. And this is a medium to really helping you make very sound decisions in your life. And there's been times where, even on the website, one brother wrote that this Chem Deck saved his wife's life. He was able to take her to the hospital when she needed to go based upon the Chem Deck. And he used the Chem Deck to really help him with that decision. So I'm just really honored to be a part of that, to be a part of that, and just to have you guys here with me. So welcome to The Remix, everyone. I'm your host, of course, Miss Blue, and I'm very excited about tonight. I had an amazing day today. I pretty much hung out with my son all day today, and learn so much. I always learn so much when I hang out with him. And we just had a beautiful day. The sun was shining, and all was well. And so here we are now sitting in the remix. So I'm glad to be here. I'm sure you guys had an amazing day, too. Just wanted to share some of that with you as well. And then got a chance to come home and listen to Baby Blue sing a little bit. What could be better? I definitely am like all other mothers, very proud of her children. They are much more in tune to things than myself. And so I look to them for guidance and wisdom, too. So, you know, it's good to be with family, and it's in a good space. And it couldn't come at a better time, because this show tonight is very important to me, this information that I'll be sharing with you guys. And so I really just hope you open your hearts and receive it as it was received to me in my heart. Ooh. All right. Well, guess what, you guys? The spring equinox is approaching, which is really the new year, is actually coming up. And it's coming up really quickly. Believe it or not, you guys, we're actually already there. I know it's not until a little later, but I'm telling you, it's already here. The new year is already here. And I want to ask a question, and I want to kind of put this out to brothers and sisters all over the world. Okay, and I want you guys to tell me this, particularly those of you in the chat room. Has anyone else noticed that the birds have been singing at night? So in the chat room, if you're in the chat room, put a heart or a smiley face if you've noticed that you've heard birds chirping at night. Okay, I see happy energy said yes. And Kalimar, and also Esther, Sunchild Ra in the chat room. So, I wanted to know, I've been noticing this for quite some time. Original Titan said yes. And quite a few of you guys there, yeah, the birds have been chirping at night. Now, there was an article, because remember we talked about the bees, and I told you guys all about the bees and the bear, and how the bear, when the bear wakes up, the first thing he wants to do is go get the honey from the bees, because the bees put the memory, the DNA memory of the planet into the honey, and so that gives them their memory. Well, there was an article that came out shortly after we did that show. See, this is why I love the remix and all the brothers and sisters that come on the show. By the way, Brother Panic is going to be coming on. I'm sure you guys have seen the post on the remix, and he'll be coming on the 24th on Sunday. So the remix always stays ahead of the curve, always. And there was a New York Times article that came out after we talked about the bees. And they were talking about the bees working at night. And they were also talking about the bees holding the memory and how now they're going to begin to use this nectar from the bees to heal things. Like, they found out that these nectars and a lot of things in the bees also kills HIV viruses. It helps with Alzheimer's. And a lot of different other things. So it's really helping people with their brains, it's brain food, all of these things that we've already talked about, now science is discovering. So that was pretty cool to kind of see them, come and kind of acknowledge the work of the bees. But I want to share with you guys this little channel that I got about the birds working at night. Now, here's the thing that I got in this channel, is that the birds are working at night. And this is why the bees are with them, because we know the birds and the bees, they go together. The birds are chirping and singing at night because the bees are working at night. Now, I remember a while back, and I believe it was Brother Bobby Hemmett that was saying that the bees, we're going to another dimension. They left and they went to another dimension. And one of the things that I found in this channel is that the birds, the bees are going to this other dimension, and they travel via the moon. And so we're not seeing the bees during the daytime, because the bees are working at night. And then they're traveling through that portal, that gateway, that wormhole of the moon, and they're going to the other dimension. So the bees are working at night, and the birds are chirping at night because they are with the bees. So you probably won't see a whole lot of bees in the daytime, not like we used to, because they're doing their work at night. Yes, they're doing their work at night, and now the birds have followed suit. And so the birds are chirping and singing and doing their work at night. So I kind of wanted to share a little bit with you guys on that. I'm sure we'll get some more clarification on that as we go. You guys know how sometimes y'all gotta have, as Brother Bobby say, the white man to give to give you verification before you believe it. So we'll see how that channel kind of comes out. The other thing I want to talk about, because this is going to be very important when it comes to bees, is we know that the bees communicate through dancing. I talked about that. One of the things I also talked about at the end of the year coming up on this year is that there would be this new dance craze that would sweep the nation, and lo and behold, it's here, and it's come out, and that is the Harlem Shake. Now, what's interesting about the Harlem Shake, and you guys will notice that kids are getting arrested in Russia from doing the Harlem Shake, and they're getting arrested in Poland from doing the Harlem Shake. They're getting arrested because these are primarily not our melanated kids who have been taken over by the Harlem Shake. And all you got to do is Google groups of kids doing the Harlem Shake. You will see everything all over the planet of rows of people underwater. They're doing them inside malls. They have military people from other countries doing the Harlem Shake. Yes. Now, Brooklyn in the chat room said the fake-ass Harlem Shake. Actually, it's not fake. Here's one of the things that I want you guys to know. That Harlem Shake that they're doing is actually them raising up their frequency, their energy. Remember, we've been talking about this ever since last night, last year. And, yeah, I talked about last night, too. But last year, and now we're talking about it now. This new era that we're in is the origin. The origin is about the light, and the light is about wisdom. This is really the time that we're in. There's going to be a lot of reports that try to get you to believe that we're in the golden ages. I don't find that to be true. I believe that that's a false sense of trying to get you to hold on to something in this temporary reality. Because gold is temporary, and gold is limited, because only a few people have access to gold. And I started thinking about when I was a young girl, and my father used to do a lot of investing in gold. And here's another thing about gold, is that the gold that we have in the United States and primarily in the world, it's not even owned by the U.S. Most of it is owned by China. So the golden ages, if for anyone, it is for them. It is not for us. I want to go back to the Harlem Shake and let you guys know the reason they are doing this Harlem Shake is because they're raising their frequency. There is a move that used to be done back in ancient times. And this is how you release yourself from negative energy. And how you release yourself from negative energy is if you stand up and just shake your body. That is going to release the negative energy from you. And they are attempting to raise their frequency. Don't get it twisted. Don't stay on this mundane level when it comes to looking at, why do you have children in Russia? Why do you have people on airplanes getting arrested from shaking and doing the Harlem Shake? It is not because they have never been able to take on our dance craze. We know that. But they are doing this, and the groups that are doing it, they're soul groups together, because when their energy comes together and all of them begin to shake, they're able to raise their frequency. Not as much as those of us who are conscious or even highly melanated, but it is helping them to raise their frequency, because the energy on the universe is causing for everyone to raise up. And they have found by shaking, it causes their electromagnetic field to vibrate. That vibration is sending ripples out into the universe and bringing them back consciousness. You get it? And this is why they are threatening in Russia. If they catch anybody doing the Harlem Shake, they will arrest them and put them in jail. Now, when have you known people been arrested and being put in jail for doing a dance? So don't be fooled by what they're showing you on the external side. That is some real powerful shit, that Harlem Shake for them. And they're going to be shaking their ass a whole lot more, because the vibration and the frequency is lifting up. And they feel that they're being left behind, and they're trying to do absolutely anything that they can do to raise the frequency. And I guarantee you, anywhere you see them doing the Harlem Shake, it's going to be a group, because one of them is not strong enough to raise that frequency totally by themselves. So they need a group of people to do it with, so the frequency can raise the elevation of consciousness for everyone in the group. So just kind of wanted to share that to you guys, share that with you. So when you see that little corny dance and you see them shaking their arms and doing all of this, they are releasing the lower vibration, their lower energy, and they're trying to raise their consciousness. Trying to raise their consciousness. Like I said, it was a shake that can be done, and you can actually do it. It's almost like they call it the salt and pepper. You bring in the white light and you release all of the negative energy. That is very real. That's a real science behind that, and and that's a real science behind that. So recognize that. Mm-hmm. Recognize. Peace and greetings, everyone. Welcome to the Forgotten Goddess of the Ages. And we're going to be talking about that. And then tonight, we're going to talk about who this goddess is, the goddess Hypatia. We're even going to do a vision quest that's going to be dedicated to her. But first, we wouldn't be the remix if we didn't move around just a little bit. So now I want us to get up, and I want all of you out there, no matter where you're listening from, to get yourself in position so that we can get ready to just welcome this energy and welcome it in a beautiful way as we get ready to go into the share about Hypatia. All right, here we go.
Thank you. watch out for Uranus. I go nuts like a Danish, then vanish into thin air and stay in there. This is deep, Carter, better bring your swimwear. But I'm shallow, and when you're this high, everybody else ballow. Oops, I meant below, mijo. 0 degree, yo, see yo. Get into your soul like Neo, Rio. Oh, I meant O-E, or is it ooey? Truly, I don't give a fuck. I am on the chill and stuck like a fan full of ducks, like a handful of bucks. I'm spinning like crazy. I'm in Wayne's World with the women like ladies. And you gon' need a telescope to see me to F, baby.
We don't give a fuck.
All right. Peace and greetings to everyone. Woo! Of course, you know that was Erykah Badu and Lil Wayne there, which will send some energy to him currently right now. I believe he's still in critical condition, dealing with a few things there. So peace and greetings to you guys out there, everyone out there listening. And welcome to the remix tonight. Tonight we're going to be talking about the forgotten goddess of ages, the goddess Hypatia. And we're going to get ready to get started here in the share. Before I do actually go into start to talk about Hypatia, the first question I want to ask you guys, and I kind of did my own little survey here, is how many of you are familiar with Hypatia? Yeah. So I know many people stated that they weren't familiar with Hypatia, hadn't heard of her or her work. And we're going to be talking about her, going through a little history. Well, I will share something with you. This Hypatia, thank you guys for your honesty. Yes, thank you. And thank you guys for your honesty of saying you're not familiar with her. And that would have been the case for me as well, too. And until I had a conversation with Siba Haru Alkebulon over the Hetepu Network, and actually, I want to dedicate this Hypatia, a big portion of this here, to him for that share here tonight. So, I want to dedicate a big portion of that here tonight as we get ready to get into the share. And we're going to begin. We're going to begin to talk about Hypatia. The first thing I want to go into is to talk about Hypatia, who she was, and why I called her the forgotten goddess, because she has been forgotten by many. Hypatia actually was born in Alexandria, and there's a lot of information about Hypatia out there, a lot of misinformation about Hypatia that is out there. Hypatia was from Kemet. She was Egyptian. She was a sister. That's who Hypatia was. She was, amongst things, a scientist, a philosopher. She was a chemist, a teacher, a healer, a leader, an amazing woman, a very amazing woman. She dealt with all things that we now know to be astrology, astronomy, numerology, oracle readings, healing, colors, occult. She was an occultist. She was all of those things. Absolutely all of those things. She was an artist. She was badass. She was badass. She was Hypatia. So I want to go in and tell you a little bit about her life and what she's done and where you can find a lot of these accounts from history about Hypatia and her work, much of her work, which has been destroyed. But there has been some brothers and sisters. One, in a composition written by Dr. Ivan Van Sertiman, Black Women in Antiquity, which was put together by Dr. Ivan Van Sertiman, in a piece that was done by Beatrice Lipscomb, Hypatia and Women's Rights in Egypt. I want you guys to begin to start to understand about Hypatia. Hypatia was a daughter. And we're going to talk about how this energy is coming back online at this particular time. So just kind of bear with me as I go into the story and really begin to tell you this story about Hypatia and everything that she's responsible for. She is a record keeper. She is the record keeper. She was the last bridge before the lights went out. And we'll talk about what that means in just a moment. But she's the one who upheld the light on the planet. Hypatia did. Hypatia's father was very instrumental in her life. And so for all of you brothers out there who have baby girls, who have daughters, you're going to find this story just as loving, hopefully, as a sister's. Her father was a gatekeeper himself, too. He was a scientist. He was an alchemist. He dealt with magic. He dealt with those things of what we now know to be the occult. He dealt with astronomy, of what we call astronomy now, astrology, numerology. He was a philosopher. He was a teacher. He was an educator. He was a leader. He was a warrior, her father. Her father gave absolutely everything that he had in him to his daughter, who was Hypatia. He gave it to his daughter. And he taught her something that a lot of our sisters haven't been taught by their fathers. He taught her how to sit amongst the men. He taught her not how to act like a woman and think like a man, how to fit amongst the men and still hold on to her wisdom and to her knowledge and to herself. He worked with Hypatia day in and day out on how to perfect her physical body, not so it can be admired by men, so that they could be somewhere gawking over her, but because he knew that that physical strength in her body was also going to help aid her in her spiritual work and also in the work that had to do with her facilitation and what she needed to accomplish. Because when we have to do things, you need stamina. A lot of times what happens with us sisters is that we run out of we don't have the physical strength to carry out the missions that we want to begin to carry out. It's not so much that we can't do it. It's the physical strength. So Hypatia's father made sure that she was very, very well-rounded. Mind, body, and spirit. And this is what all fathers should do for their daughters. It is certainly one of those things that my father was very instrumental in my life ensuring. And so when it comes to the role of fathers taking care of their daughters, and I wish I could tell you that this was something unusual in Kemet, but it wasn't. The fathers were very, very active, if not just as active in the mother's role with their daughters, the fathers were too. And Hypatia's father was no different because he was a seer and he was able to see the future and he knew these were things that his daughter would need. He knew that his daughter would need these things. Hypatia and her father were the last keepers, the last gateway keepers of the information, all of the scrolls coming out of ancient Kemet. Hypatia worked in the library. She also is credited with a lot of inventions, and one of those inventions, as stated in Black Women in Antiquity, edited by Ivan Van Sertiman on page number 155, is that Hypatia was credited with lots of inventions, one of them being what we use to measure liquid with. That's one. Also, what we use to measure the stars and other things of astronomy by. Mathematics was her field, was her area. That was one of them. Science was the other one. She studied the stars. Geometry was her other one. So before all of these great philosophers came along and stole credit, Hypatia had already had this information. Now, here's something that's key. Hypatia never said she invented this, but she was the keeper of this. So if we go back to our ancestors going all the way back to ancient Kemet, we knew that this knowledge was there. But she was one of the very few people who could read the writing of the priest. When we start to look at some of the messages, the hieroglyphs that were left by our ancestors coming out of ancient Kemet, those pictures and those writings, those hieroglyphs were there for the everyday common people. But there were thousands upon thousands of scrolls that could not be read by the walking man and by the walking woman. Hypatia and her father were able to read those very, very sacred scrolls. So don't be fooled by what you read about Hypatia, because they try to paint her as being Roman Gecko coming out of that particular era. But she was Egyptian. She was from Kemet, and she was a sister. Now, this was coming at an era where there was lots of chaos that was going on in Kemet. The Christians were moving in. All kinds of chaos, all kinds of hell was going on. The Greeks was doing their own thing. It was all kinds of things going on. Hypatia decided to stay because she knew that there was a lesson that her father passed on to her. And that lesson her father passed on to her was that this knowledge is to be protected. It was the knowledge of the world. It was the knowledge of the planet. And she was the only walking person breathing on the planet that could read these ancient scrolls. Oh, they could look at the pictures and decipher the hieroglyphs. Oh, they could look at some of the writings and they could decipher some of the writings. But these very, very sacred scrolls, the only person who could read them and understand them, because they were only given to the priest and the pharaohs, and sometimes some of the pharaohs couldn't read it, was Hypatia. So when everyone decided to leave, when everyone decided to go and leave, or either they were being killed, Hypatia and her students chose to stay in the library of Alexandria. She didn't leave. They knew they were coming. But Hypatia, one thing about her, she wasn't a bitch ass nigga. Can I say that? She didn't have no bitch assness in her. And she wasn't getting ready to run. She wasn't going to go. She was going to stay, and she was going to stand her ground and protect that knowledge. She was a fire goddess, pure fire. And she knew she had work here to do. So when we start to talk about a lot of women in antiquity, we have a whole lot of sisters out there. Hypatia is just one that I want to bring to your attention and to help you to understand why this energy is back here now in this present day. So Hypatia decided she wasn't going to leave. She was going to stay. And as a result of her staying, and because she was a gatekeeper, because she was the one who held the knowledge, and she was one of the ones who knew and understand, the Greeks had to come to her. They seeked her in counsel. They had to come to her and get counsel from her. She walked freely, because here's something else that I want you to understand. While the rest of the world, and even still to this day, is treating women across the globe like shit, that wasn't the case for our ancestors in Kemet. Women weren't treated like shit. Women had the same rights as men did, to own property, to have jobs, to work outside the home, to own land, to have money. It was none of this craziness, misogynistic mentality going on. That is not something that comes from your ancestors. Understand that. That is an illusion that they want you to feel, that women have always been treated very down. Here's another misconception, and I think I need to go ahead and say it right here. They try to uplift Hypatia as being a feminist, and she was not. Was she a womanist? Yes. Was she a feminist? Hell no. There's a big difference. And let me just tell you the skinny on the difference. Womanism is about, I'm a woman, and I get to do what the hell I want to do. You don't define me. You don't do any of that. I'm a woman, and I do what I want to do. Feminism says, you can't define me by my gender because this is what I want to do as my gender as a woman. That's not an African concept. That feminism stuff, that's not our concept. That didn't come from us. You understand? That wasn't our struggle. We didn't have that kind of struggle. Those things did not come. That's a more of a European mindset. That's feminism. That's not us. And Hypatia was not a feminist at all. Not at all. She wasn't about that. That wasn't her. She didn't get down with that. None of that. So Hypatia and her students decided to stay. And even though there was so much chaos that was going on and that was happening at that particular time, they could find peace in understanding Hypatia. They were the one that they came to get the wisdom. Hypatia was the one that she could walk amongst the town while the other women could not leave their homes. Hypatia walked up and down the street. She did what she wanted to do. She sat amongst the men. She sat amongst those who were the rulers at the time. She sat amongst their, when the Catholic regime was coming in, she sat amongst their popes and she spoke with them. Hypatia did that. They tried to peg her as being pagan because they felt like she was worshiping all of these gods. Don't let the story twist you up. She was worshiping Mayat. She was paying reference to Tahuti. She was paying reference to Haru. She was paying reference to Aset. She was paying reference to Shastet. She was paying reference to Asar. That's what she was doing because that was her true lineage of where she came from. Hypatia was from Kemet. She was born in Alexandria. She was not Roman Gecko at all. So when you began to start to look at that, I want you to begin to just kind of paint a picture with me and understand that she used to walk out in the middle of the city where fights were breaking out. They had Christians going against Greeks, and they were killing and they were fighting. They were starting fires. They were tearing down statues. And Hypatia would walk in a cloak that was covered in peacock feathers. And she would come out, and she would greet the people, and she would talk to them. No fear, no fret. They would come to Hypatia to try to get understanding about the knowledge and the information because it was one thing that the Christians wanted when they were moving in. When they were coming in, they wanted that knowledge. They were killing for that knowledge. So this is why even our ancestors will say, knowledge, you used to have to do some work to get knowledge. People died for knowledge, and I'm not just talking about here on the continent in the West of slavery. We're going way further back. people were dying for this knowledge of our DNA that flows in our blood. You get it? So when you begin to do your search and you start to search for Hypatia, you're going to see her connected with a whole lot of stuff. I blame myself as a sister because I think as sisters in this information, in this quest for us to get to know ourselves better, too many times we're relying on the brothers to bring us information. And that's great because the brothers do. But we got to step our game up because there's a whole lot more sisters out there like Hypatia that is in our lineage that we need to bring to light. We can't wait for them to do this work. It's not all their responsibility. It is our responsibility as sisters to bring this information up too. I did a survey, and I'm not going to say no names, and I asked, do you know about Hypatia? Tell me some information about Hypatia. Because I wanted to find out. I wanted to find out as much information as possible. Now, as we go on, I'm going to tell you why there's not much information on Hypatia. You can get Black Women in Antiquity, the book by Dr. Ivan Van Sertiman, Ashe to him, and you will read that passage that's in there. And then there's a few other books, but everything else that you read, a lot of it is misinformation about Hypatia. So tonight we're going to set the record straight, and you're going to get a chance to understand who Hypatia was. So imagine we're back at this ancient time. All of this chaos is going on. Hypatia is the only one that has this knowledge. She's passing it on to her students, who are primarily men, that she's passing it on. Every account where they wrote about Hypatia, they talk about how beautiful she was, how eloquently she was able to speak. She had the voice of the goddess. And the men loved her. They worshipped her. Both the Catholics and the Greeks, they loved Hypatia. She was a sister. Come on. Of course they would. And the people adored her. The people adored her. This was a good thing. This was a good thing. Now, I want you to get a picture of when we start to talk about the Library of Alexandria, the largest library, ancient library in the world. In the world. We're talking about sisters in antiquity. We got a lot of sisters in modern day time, but we going back to this sister who is back in antiquity. She was a walking, breathing, living sister on this planet. And she did the damn work. This library would be what we would call today the Library of Congress. The Library of Congress. She was over that. So every university, every piece of knowledge, every piece of information was stored in that library. She was the librarian. There was a half a million strolls that was in there. A half a million strolls. And out of those, half of them could not be read by people. They had 13 lecture halls that could hold up to 10,000 students in each lecture hall. And it stayed packed because people came from all over the world to Alexandria so that they could be in the presence of Hypatia. She was the teacher to the teachers. She was the one who held the ancient knowledge of our ancestors. I want you guys to hear this. Her title, her official title, if you want to get this technical with it, the librarian, the true librarian who sits over the records on this planet back in ancient time. That's a hell of a shoe to walk in. That's a hell of a shoe. A hell of a shoe to walk in. So now, Hypatia is here, and she has her students. Half of them are confused because they see what's going on. Some of them are becoming Christians. Some of them are trying to fight. They're protecting the library. They are staying there to begin to hold down things with Hypatia. But the tension is growing and growing and growing. And what happens is one of their leaders is out and about. And they stop him on the street because they notice that he had been seeking the counsel of Hypatia a lot. And so they ask him a question, and there's a movie called Agora. It doesn't really give a good depiction of Hypatia, but you're able to sort of kind of get a little bit of insight about what the times were like and get a feel for the time period and a little bit about what's going on. It's distorted. They try to make romanticize the movie, but you can still get the point. This movie came out in 2009, and you probably can find it somewhere online and download it. Or buy it from Amazon. But it's a good reference point for you to go and just kind of capture some of the information from. So they stop him in the middle of the street, and they ask him, let me ask you a question. We want you to get down on your knees, and we want you to show the people, keep in mind he was Christian, that you worship one God. He wouldn't do it. And so one of the guys hemmed him up and said, let me ask you a question. See, because they knew he had been spending a lot of time with Hypatia. He said, how many women do you listen to? And he said, one. They said, exactly. Hypatia. Because, see, back in those times, and particularly for those Greeks and those Christian men, they did not acknowledge women. And so there was a group of people, and we know this always exists, that was doing some strong hating on Hypatia. Some strong hating on Hypatia. One in particular was Syros. And Syros later became a saint. Now, I want to start to talk about what happened to Hypatia. So Hypatia is doing her thing. She's teaching classes, and she's doing all kinds of things. And we'll get into some of the other things she did as well, too. But what happened is Cyril is riding on his horse one day, and he sees a mob of people standing outside of this house. And so he stops and he says, "Hey, what is all the commotion? What are y'all doing?" You know, because some people were laying down, some people were standing up. They had children. It was women. It was men. And he said, "What are y'all doing?" They said, "Oh, Hypatia lives here." So he said, "Hypatia?" They said, "Yeah, you don't know Hypatia?" And he said, "Okay, so what are you guys doing standing outside?" And the guy tells him, he said, "We're waiting on her because when she comes out, she's going to talk to the people." She's going to talk to the people. So he said, "So y'all are waiting out here for Hypatia so she could talk to you?" They said, "Yeah, she's Hypatia." That right there set the seed for what would come to be the death of Hypatia. Because Cyril became so enraged. He became so jealous, envious, and was so in an uproar that the people loved Hypatia and that she was even starting to turn people away from Christianity and start to follow her. Hypatia was a free thinker. And so she believed that people should have the ability to have free thought. And wherever their spirit moved them, that's where they should be. So what then happened is that they plotted to have Hypatia killed. I want you guys to stay with me because this is very important that you get this. And really just focus your energy. March 15th, on today's date, was the day of Hypatia's death. March 15th. And if you take a look at the calendar, we don't get too many March 15ths on a Friday. You can go look. It's documented. She was killed during the height of Lent celebration. And during Lent season, she was killed on March 15th. Now, how they killed Hypatia. There's many accounts out there about how Hypatia was killed. But not only did they kill Hypatia, they also destroyed the library of Alexandria as well. So what they did is they captured Hypatia. And once they captured Hypatia, they took oyster shells and they literally picked her skin apart, piece by piece by piece. And that wasn't good enough to just peel her skin away. They literally tore her limbs apart. They tore her limbs apart. They dismembered her body. And they dismembered her body because they wanted to erase everything that had to do with Hypatia. Then they drug her through the city. They drug the pieces of her body, her legs, her arms, her head, her shoulders, her torso. She was the female Osiris. She was the female Osiris. They drug her body pieces through the city, took her to a place at the time where the Christians used as one of their ceremonial worshiping places, threw her body pieces into a fire and burnt her. So you ask yourself the question, if you ever question whether Hypatia was a sister or whether Hypatia was truly from Kemet, I want you to look at the way that they killed her. They tore her limb to limb and they killed her. They took her body pieces together with oyster shells. They picked her apart. And they did all of this because of ultimate jealousy, because they felt like she was doing magic on the people. And this was the only way that she could have gotten the people to love her so much. And this was the only way that she was able to get men to listen to her, to love her. That she must have been using some sort of trickery, some sort of magic on them. And then they took what they thought they needed, that they stole from the Library of Alexandria, and then they burnt down the library. They destroyed the library because, see, that reminder of the Library of Alexandria was going to tie everyone back to Hypatia, and it was going to tie everything back to who the true origin of the information was. The information was to the keepers of the people of Kemet, our ancestors. But one of the things that they did not anticipate is Hypatia knew that this was coming. See, her father had prepared her, and she decided that she wasn't going to run, that she was going to stay as long as this knowledge and this information was here. But see, Hypatia gathered up a few of those scrolls, the ones that nobody could read, and she did a whole lot of reading before she made her transition, before she was killed. She did a whole lot of reading on a lot of those ancient scrolls. She already knew a whole lot of information, but she brought a lot of those ancient records with her. She recorded the records. She kept the records. She was the record keeper, the gateway keeper to this planet, that information that was left for us. Now, not only did they want to get rid of Hypatia, but they literally destroyed everything that her and her father touched, because that would take it back to its origin. What is this era that we're in? Origin. And they knew that it would take it back to the origin. I was checking out some of the work from Manly P. Hall, and he was talking about Hypatia in The Secret Teachings, in one of Manly P. Hall's books. And he talked about how Hypatia understood the origin, which went back to ancient Kemet. So when I got that channel many, many months ago about the origin, I hadn't yet learned about Hypatia, but one thing I was 100% sure that I knew, that we are in the origin. And so it is definitely, definitely that time. So now, Hypatia was killed. And they destroyed everything, everything that could take you back to Hypatia. So you get all of these writings that come out, a lot of Plato students, a lot of Aristotle students, and you see them doing all of these different writings about Hypatia. And when they all speak about her, they said, there is actually no picture to be found of Hypatia. So all of these drawings that you see, or if you Google it online, Hypatia online, you see these pictures that people put up. That is not what Hypatia looks like at all. They had no pictures of her. Absolutely none. Absolutely none. No pictures of Hypatia. But the men and the people who were blessed to see Hypatia said she was the most beautiful thing that anyone has ever laid eyes on. I'm going to tell you what Hypatia looks like because I've seen her. But I'm also going to give you an account of someone else who's seen her. And I'm going to talk about when I first encountered Hypatia. The first time that I've seen Hypatia, and I was talking about this with Elder Haru and a couple of other people, is that I used to see Hypatia inside the records, when I would go inside the Akashic records. But she would be walking around the library. I would see this sister. She had long, wavy, wavy hair. Beautiful, beautiful light brown eyes. Very, very high cheekbones. Very tall sister with long legs. And she would be walking around the library. And I would always smile at her and greet her as I would go into the Akashic Records. She had very, very dark, dark hair with light, light brown highlights in her hair, and her eyes were almost a hazel brown. Very, very tall, golden skin tone, very golden skin tone. Very golden skin tone, Hypatia had. Hypatia was in the library. I was right there going in the record, seeing her there, just didn't know who she was. I thought she was someone there, someone else there in the records doing some work. I didn't know. I didn't know who she was. There was even a time where I took some classes and I would wake up from these dreams and I would have these classes where I was in these classes and Hypatia was my teacher. And it wasn't until I started diving into this work that I discovered this is the same lady from the library. And now this lady is teaching me. Most of my spirit guides and most of my spirit teachers have been men in the records in different places. But this was Hypatia. She was the same lady. And I was like, why is this lady following me all everywhere I go? Now she's teaching me a class. And a lot of these classes that I would attend that she was teaching had to do with the Akashic Records. Oh, are y'all following me here? Had to do with the Akashic Records. Same lady, same tall lady, same tall lady with dark hair, with brown highlights, with light hazel eyes, very high cheekbones that stood out. One time I even seen her covered in her cloak, that peacock cloak. I seen her covered, the same damn lady. I seen her teaching me these things, these classes I would go to. And I'm going to share some of those channels with you guys as well, too. There was another account of one of Plato's students. And his name was Phamathios. Phamathios, I believe that's how you pronounce his name. He was a philosopher, and he was one of the last students that Plato taught. And he was actually executed. He was in the process of being executed for acquiring knowledge. That's what they were getting ready to kill him for. And he also, the Book of Constellations of Philosophy was the book that he wrote. They actually held him in jail. He was incarcerated for that, and they were about to execute him. He was one of Plato's last students. And he talks about how Hypatius came to visit him when he was in jail. So there's many accounts that have been documented of where Hypatius has come to visit a lot of people who are discovering things, who are creating things, because that's what she was about. And one of the classes I'm going to share, it's a lot of information, a lot of different information that was being taught in these classes that I've attended with Hypatia. But I want to share with you guys here one of them I'm going to share with you. And one of the classes that I went through with Hypatia very early on was about, and keep in mind, I didn't know she was Hypatia at the time. And that was being pure in the work. Being pure in the work is one of the things that she taught me. That it is important when it comes to doing work, particularly in divination and all forms of divination, and understanding the pureness of it is what we learned in this particular class. And what she taught me was that when you understood the pureness of this work of divination, it will lift the veil. What is also known as the veil of Offset or the veil of Isis. So when you see the goddess Isis, and there's actually a statue of Isis, that's in, I believe it's in somewhere up in Montana, Vermont, somewhere. They have a huge statue of Isis, Offset, covered in the veil. And you can see her covered in that veil. That veil is for purity. But let me tell you what else that veil is for. That veil is for understanding the pureness of the work. Those of us who are here in this physical reality, on this side of what we call the veil, recognize that that veil is only 3 to 4 feet in front of us, what we call that other world. And to tap into that other world, it's only 3 or 4 feet in front of you. And Hypatia helped me to understand how to begin to get into that. But you can only get there by being pure in your work. The understanding I have for myself is far greater than any reading than I could ever do. I want you guys to understand that. What is also important to understand is that I know for a fact that one of the things that I have been working with that Hypatia helped me to begin to get introduced to, and what she worked with, and what she was working with at the time when she was studying the stars, the planets, when she was studying numerology, when she was studying magic, when she was studying the philosophers and the work, the science that her father studied, is that she also used the Benbein tablet. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Benbein tablet, but the Benbein tablet is what Hypatia was using. Because also why the people loved Hypatia is because she also dealt with what we call magic and divination. And the people was waiting for her because she was also doing readings for them. And she was using what was left for her by our ancestors, by the goddess Offset, the Benbein chart. Now, the Benbein tablet, there's been many translations of the Benbein, and I'll spell it for you, B-E-M, B-E-M-B-I-N-E. The Benbein chart, there's many different translations of it, but I got a translation that I'm working with of the Benbein chart that is coming directly from Hypatia and the goddess Offset herself. And we're going to do another show because there's not enough time to get to all the things that we want to do today to really go in and break down the Benbein tablet here, but we will. But Hypatia was working with that. This is where all forms of divination, as we know it on this planet, in this cosmos, comes from. This is where it comes from. Everything is coming out of that. It's all been split up, but it all came out of that. Yes. So Hypatia, help me to understand. And one of the things about it that she understood, being misunderstood, being judged, making sacrifices, going against the grain, being outcast by her peers. She wasn't just outcast by those against her. She was outcast by her peers. She was outcast by some of the same people who was in her soul group. She understood the perception of failure. She understood the perception of failure, because truly there is no failure. So a lot of people would say that this came at a time when Kemet was falling. Kemet never failed. That was something that Brother Bobby Hemet helped me to understand. There was no failure. Kemet's civilization has lasted longer than any civilization that's still going on at this time on the planet. So only time will tell. But Hypatia understood all of these things. She understood how many people would misunderstand her. She understood how so many people would judge her. She understood what it felt like to make a real sacrifice. She knew what it meant when she said she was going against the grain, and she also knew what it felt to be an outcast amongst her own peers. And she understood that at the time she was in, that because she was a woman, that people would do these things to her. They would not take her serious. And some of this has been some of the struggles that I've sort of come up against myself as well, too. I take a look back at a lot of the writings, and there is a woman by the name of Normandy Ellis who did a beautiful, beautiful work of the Pertin Heru. She gave the translation from a feminine perspective. But the scholars, her colleagues, her peers, have joked it off as not being a serious translation because she's a woman. So this still does happen. And even when I begin to go in and I read a lot of the work that have been left, I always felt that there was something missing. There was something missing from the information, even though there's very accurate information that we can find throughout history, throughout a lot of the books, a lot of the scientists, a lot of the philosophers who kept a lot of this information for us from ancient Kemet. I still felt there was something missing from these very ancient writings. And what was missing was the feminine aspect of that interpretation. It is not in there. And this is why I will say it, though I can't say it anymore, that we have really misunderstood this thing called emotion because we have made it gender specific, and we tend to think that emotions are only used for those lower qualities or feminine qualities, and that the intellect level of understanding sits above emotions. Something to think about. Hypatia understood all of these things, but I don't want us to get sidetracked here. Just want to kind of throw out some more food for thought to know that all of these great scholars, all of these great writings that we have from ancient times is missing the feminine perspective. And so this is why you're not getting a lot of these stories of Hypatia and many others to come out, because they wasn't written from that perspective. So now, I channeled and sat down and had a talk with Hypatia, and I wanted to know the real deal. I wanted to know, you know me. I wanted to know the real deal. I said, Hypatia, I want to know the real deal. All of this deep shit that we just talked about, I wanted to know what really happened. I wanted to know. I wanted to know. I wanted to know the real deal. And this is what Hypatia told me, because I wanted to know what was the real dislike. You understand? You know my nosy ass. I asked this question. And this is what she told me. She said, I was a woman at a table, able to sit at a table full of men. They love my mind. They love my body. and they love my spirit, and they would follow me anywhere. She said, I was the first person to make a man leave God for me. She was the first woman, that's pretty big, talking about Christian, to make a man leave God for her. And Cyril hated me, and he had me killed. I was the last walking symbol of a melanated land of Kemet that possessed the records, the true records. Their God was no match for me, and they knew it. They wanted our knowledge. The main dislike was love. The main dislike was love. It started out of jealousy. Jealousy from a gang of Christians. And it also there was those that you couldn't see that was working behind the scenes that also had me killed. And so I asked her, I said, those working behind the scenes? And she told me, yes, there were people working behind the scenes. It wasn't just Cyril and his gang. When Hypatia revealed to me who had her killed, I was devastated. I was completely devastated. When she told me, I said, who were these people who set you up? Who were they? We knew it was the Christians out there. We knew Cyril was so jealous of you. We knew this saint was so jealous of you that he had you killed. But who are these people you couldn't see? And then she told me. She said it was the women. The women had me killed. I said, the women? They hated my position. And what they hated most is that their men were listening to me more than they could ever get him to listen to them. That's who set her up. It was the women. Yeah. Yeah. That's who set her up. The women had a conspiracy the whole time. They felt she had more power over the men than she had. They felt as though she was using some sort of magic. Now, one of the things that happened, once Hypatia was killed because she held the origin. She held the light. When they killed Hypatia, it sent the world into the dark ages. And more that people started to take credit for Hypatia's work, the further and darker the times began to happen. The Dark Ages came once Hypatia was killed. It sent the whole planet into the Dark Ages. So many people took credit for her work. So many people stole her work. They just took it from astrology, from numerology, from divination, even some of the principles when it went into the Bible, the virtues of a woman. She represented the feminine aspect of the work. And none of the work that came out of that time had that perspective, because Hypatia was the only one at that time that had access to that information. No one else could read that. They went straight into the damn Dark Ages. If you go back and you Google Hypatia and you look at the timeline, this is something Brother Ogun always taught me. You want to know what's going on? Look at where your people were and look at the timeline. They asses went straight into the fucking Dark Ages because she held the origin. She had a love for learning and teaching. That's what motivated her. It was love. On today, March 15th, 2013, Hypatia. This is the day that the forgotten goddess rises again. And we're going to raise her energy back up. We're going to do a short vision quest. And we're going to go into that. Because we're in this new origin. This is really the era of light. And light, white light, encompasses all of those. All of those colors were in the origin. And this is a very special dedication, especially to Hypatia at this time. Because this is a time where we are to infuse both, not only the women writing, but infuse the teachings of both the masculine and the feminine energy together. And so that's what the rise of Hypatia is about. It's time for that knowledge to come back online and come back online together in that way. It's here, the origin. It's here, the origin. Yeah. This is the age of light. This is the age of light, the origin. Yeah. So tonight, we're going to do some readings after we do the vision quest. Wanted to drop some Hypatia energy on you guys and tell you about that very beautiful and powerful sister that I'm still working with. And, lots of fire tonight. Lots of fire tonight, you guys. Wow. Yeah, lots of fires tonight. So the Hall of Records, you guys, the Akashic Records. And I still work with Hypatia. And tonight, you guys are going to get an opportunity to get your very special message from Hypatia tonight, too. You're going to get it. I'm proud to say that she is definitely one of my teachers in the records. And we've been able to merge our energies together and come together, you know, the origin. Yeah. So I want you guys to relax, get yourself comfortable, sit back. I want you to take something to write with, because as soon as we come out of this meditation, we're going to be, as soon as we come out, you're going to be writing some information down. I'm very excited about this. I'm very excited about this energy and being able to share this information with you guys. And share this information with you guys about Hypatia. And one of the things that I will tell you, sisters, don't let history repeat itself. And brothers, don't let history repeat itself. Don't let history repeat itself. Oh, no, 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 no. No more of that energy. Yeah. Let's not let that history repeat itself. Hypatia. 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 All right, you guys, we're going to get ready. We're getting ready to go. So I know you guys have yourself in a nice, comfortable position. We're going to open the phone lines immediately following doing the vision quest. And you'll be able to share. So we'll be doing that. 646-652-2711 is the number to call. And yes, I'll be doing some readings afterwards. So let's get ready. Let's get ready. Let's get ready, everyone. Yes. You're live in the remix. I am your host, of course, Miss Blue, the Rise of the Forgotten Goddess Hypatia. Not forgotten anymore. So the next time you hear the name Hypatia, the next time that you see the name Hypatia, you can recognize that you have a connection. She's one of our sisters. She is one of our ancestors. And she is one of our teachers and leaders who have this ancient knowledge here for us. Yeah. Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. All right, you guys, let's get ready to go. Here we go. Yeah, let's get ready. Give me just 1 second. Here we go. All right.
Let's get ready to begin. Sit up nice and straight. That's it. Feet planted flat on the ground. If you can, take off your shoes and socks if you have them on. And just kind of put your toes all the way down flat on the floor. Excellent. Now, just relax. Get yourself nice and comfortable. Lean back and close your eyes. I want you to take some nice, deep, slow breaths in and out, nice and slow. Excellent. Just like that. Close your eyes. Now, we're traveling at night, but once we arrive, it's going to be daytime. And we're going to be traveling via the air. So it's going to be a pretty wild ride. You're going to need to hold on. We're going to be going way, way back, far back in the records. And we're actually going to the library in Alexandria. And we're going to go inside the library, the university, where you will get the opportunity to meet Hypatia for yourself. Isn't that cool? Yes. So now, as we get ready to begin this journey, which we're going to start here in just a moment, I want you to hold on tight. And we're going to take this ride together. So here we go. You can feel yourself being lifted by the wind. Excellent. We're going back and back and further back. That's it. Back in time. All the way back. That's it. Yes. That's it. I want you to begin to look up ahead, because you can see the city of Alexandria from here. All of the buildings. All of it. That huge building over there, it's the library. Yes. That's where we're going. We're going inside the library. So now, hold on. Hold on. We're about to come down. Down right here where this patch of woods is. That's it. Walk across up to the steps of the library. Right here. Let's get ready to enter. All right? I'll race you to the top of the steps. Let's go. There. We're here. We're here. Now, let's get ready to come inside. That's it. Everyone, come inside. Stand right here. Right here. We're inside the library. You can hear Hypatia as she walks around. No worries. You're going to get a chance to have your own personal time with her. But first, I want to cover some things. Because inside the library, it is based on a very ancient system. I'm going to tell you where to begin to look. Where to begin to look so that you can find what you're looking for. Section 100, Philosophy and Psychology. 200, Spirituality. 300, Social Science. 400, it's going to be Language. 500, the Natural Science of Mathematics. 600 is all about technology. 700 is about the arts. And 800 is literature, and 900 is geographic information and history. Hypatia has a message for you here in one of these strolls. Don't get distracted, because there's plenty of zoos going on around here. There's gardens. There's lecture halls that hold 5,000 people, students. It's all kinds of things going on. You're here to get your message from Hypatia. So now go. Go. And as soon as you find your book and you open it, you will see Hypatia, and your passage will be there. I want you to begin to open up the book. I see some of you have already found it, and you have your passage there. I want you to write it down. Remember it. Remember the message Hypatia has for you. Go find your section. It's here for you. All of this wisdom, this ancient knowledge, it's time. It's time in the era of the origin of the light. We are in the light, the time of the crystal clear understanding of the origin. It's time for you to become crystal clear. And Hypatia is here to help you. Excellent. That's it. Pick up your books. Read the passage. This is going to give you insight and guidance into what direction for you to begin to move forward. Wonderful. Wonderful. Yes. That's it. Okay, now once you're done, I want everyone to come meet me back at the door. We're going to get ready to leave. Some of you are still here looking, and that's fine too. But let's get our books and let's get ready. Find your book. Find your book. It is here. It is here for you. Excellent. That's it. Find your book. Read your passageway. Greet Hypatia. Greet her. Yes. There. Wow. Amazing. It's wonderful. That's it. Take your time, write it down. You're in the library, and you're free to go wherever you want. Any aisle that you want to go down, any place that you want to go, you're free to go. I hear Hypatia. She's greeting more of you. Excellent. Excellent. That's it. Grab your books. Take them to the table. Open them up. See the magical passage that Hypatia has left for you. There. There it is. That's it. Excellent. Beautiful. Yes. Now, let's get ready to return. Let's get ready to return. Everyone, let's gather your information, gather everything that you have, and let's return to the doorway. That's it. Know that you can come back here anytime. Anytime that you want to come back and you have a question and you want to greet Hypatia, she will be right here in the library for you, in the university, to give you those answers. I see some of you went over to psychology and science, and some of you went over where philosophy was and spirituality and studied those things of the occult and all of these magical things that you're involved in. Some of you even went in the history section and found some amazing information. Yes. Okay. We're going to slowly get ready to walk out of the library. So here we go. Let's go down the steps. There. You can feel the sun, the very hot sun, as it beams towards your back as you come down the steps, down and down and down and down. And now you can feel the warmth of the sand as it's beneath your feet. On the count of three, we're going to get ready to take flight, and you're going to come back, and you're going to be able to retain all of this information, all of this knowledge, everything that you grasp while being in the library in Alexandria with Hypatia. So here we go. One, two, three. We're back. Take a nice deep breath. And I want you to take some time. And I want you to begin to write down everything that you captured from this very, very powerful moment. Peace. All right, everyone. I want to give you a few moments to sort of kind of get yourself situated. Make sure that you're writing down anything that you have. Make sure you write it down, that you keep yourself and you begin to write it down. That's it. Take your time and write it down. The other thing is I want to give a big thank you to Hawkeye, the brother Hawkeye, and I know you guys have seen him on Hawkeye, I know you guys have seen him over on the Remix
page and all over Facebook, him and his lovely queen. They do some amazing, amazing energy, healing work that they do through music. They compose that piece especially for tonight and for the work tonight. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. 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 Mhm. Mhm. Yeah. I see you guys still writing. I see you guys still writing. Yes. Mhm. So now, here's a couple of things that I want to say. I definitely want to give a big shout out, like I said, to Hawkeye and his queen. They do some amazing music, and you guys will be hearing more of their music here on the remix as well, too. It's a couple of announcements that I want to make before we open up the phone lines for everyone here this evening. One, I want to let you guys know that coming up, we're going to be doing a very, very nice celebration. And this celebration is going to be coming up next week, Friday. It's going to be considered the Remix Holiday. I know I talked about that was one of the things that we're going to be doing, but we're going to be having a Remix Holiday. Going to be a special day, and it's always going to be the third Friday in March. It's going to be a remix official holiday. So mark your calendar. Lots of special things are going to be going on that particular day because it is officially the remix holiday, the third Friday in March. We're going to have that remix holiday. And then also coming up on Sunday night, Esther, as you guys know, is also going to be co-hosting some shows and hosting some shows on the remix. And hosting some shows on the remix. She's going to be interviewing me. That's right. So Esther is going to be interviewing me. We got lots of other goodies and surprises. A plan that's going to be coming up on Sunday night show. Esther will be doing her first show, so you definitely want to be in the house. And we got a lot of things planned, so don't forget, next Friday, the Remix Holiday, the third week of March is going to be each year. It's the Remix Holiday. We're going to have lots of fun. And who knows, Baby Blue may even sing and do her cameo there too. And then also on Sunday night, what's going to happen is Esther is going to be interviewing me, and Esther is going to be putting it up on the Remix Radio page. If you guys have a question that you want her to ask of me or a question you want to ask, what do you want to know about Miss Blue? Put those questions up over on the Remix Radio page, and and we're going to go ahead and get that. But remember, no setup. We just got through talking about Hypatia. It's going to be a live interview. It's going to be a live interview. And yes, we're going to have a lot of fun. That's going to be Sunday night. So put those questions up, and we're going to do that. 646-652-2711 is the number to call. Press 1 when you get on the phone lines, or if you're calling internationally and you're on the phone lines, then you can either Skype in or dial the U.S. country code and begin to do that. Yes. I promise you guys, if y'all are seeing pictures online of Hypatia, those pictures, that's not her. Mm-mm. None of those pictures are her. Trust and believe. She's a beautiful sister, but they don't know what she looks like. No. All right, you guys. So here we go. Here we go. We're going to go to the phone lines. calling in from area code. Oh, I forgot to tell you guys what I'm going to be doing. Let's see. The readings that we'll do tonight. Let's see what I'll do tonight. The readings that I'm going to do tonight are primarily going to be, let's see. Primarily these readings are going to have to do with origin. So let's say that tonight we're going to be doing aura readings. We're going to be doing, origin fire goddess readings. Yeah, that sounds good. That's what we're going to be doing tonight. And we'll talk about those areas in your life of how you can begin to propel yourself even further. I will ask you what you got out the vision quest. Did you get a passage? Did you get a message from Hypatia? What happened when you were in the library? We'll talk about that too. 646-652-2711 is the number to call. And press 1 when you get on the phone lines. So we're going to go to the phone lines, calling in from area code 734. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hello. Hi, this is Brandon from Detroit.
Okay, Brandon from Detroit. How come I don't see you?
Because I had my hand up. Hello, I was pressing my hand down and up. I think I have to go press 1 twice.
Okay, so do you have a question, Brandon? You want to tell us about what you've seen inside the record?
Yes. When I went inside the record, I went inside
the library. When we all went in the library, yeah. Tell us, did you get a passage or a message from Hypatia?
Oh, no, I just grabbed a book, and it was like a picture in it. It was like a lake and like the sun, like setting over it. And that's really all I got.
Okay, tell me again, Brandon, because I can't understand you. I need you to speak up. Tell me what you see inside. Are you doing something over there, Brandon?
No.
Okay. I heard some feedback, some noise there. So you seen a picture. What did you see a picture of?
I seen a picture. It was a lake and the sun was setting.
Okay. Of what?
It was like a sun setting, mm-hmm. like a scene of a lake and by the woods, but it was a big old lake with the sun setting.
Okay. And so do you remember what section you went into?
I think it was the third one. It had to do with agriculture.
Oh, that had to do with agriculture. Okay. All right. You know what? You never changed that smoke detector, did you?
No, I didn't.
Wow. Brandon. I want to take a look, and I want to give you some things. First of all, that smoke detector is going off. It's letting you know that things are still going to be out of balance and that you really don't listen. You don't listen. So what are you waiting for? Are you waiting for the real fire to come? What is it that you're waiting for?
Honestly, I don't know what I'm waiting for. It's like I'll be waiting on like a spiritual breakthrough. And
well,
I'm stuck. I'm waiting for some good to happen.
Well, here's the thing. You're not free-falling here, and there's nobody coming to save you. If you don't make something good happen, ain't shit gonna happen. You hear that smoke detector? I don't even remember. I talked to so many different people. I don't even remember. But when it gets to the point that I can remember that I've told you not once, not twice, but this is the third time I told you about that smoke detector, and you're telling me that you're waiting on something? It's been about 2 months. No one's coming to save you. If you want something good to happen, then you have to be in goodness. That smoke detector tells me you're not in goodness and you cannot hear. Your hearing is thrown off for you. You understand? Your hearing is getting you thrown off. You cannot hear. So even if your spirit guides and your teachers are to tell you something, you're not going to be able to listen because you can't hear. You've become numb to things that are warnings in your life. And so your spirit guides are talking to you. They're telling you things. You can't hear them. Just like you tone out that smoke detector, you're toning out life. You are waiting on someone else to come change the batteries in the smoke detector. That's what you're waiting on. That's what you're waiting on. Someone to come change the battery in the smoke detector. No one's not going to come in and change, Brandon. You have to do that. You have to find the intestinal fortitude within yourself to change it. Let me go inside of your energy really quick, and I want to pick some things up. Currently, the color that is around you is the color yellow. Yellow is around you. That has a lot to do with the energy of the sun. You said that you went into the section of agriculture. You have got to get grounded into this physical reality because you're not grounded here. You're somewhere up in La La Land thinking someone's going to come and pick you up like a little baby and wrap you in swaddling clothing and take you off somewhere. That's not going to happen. Unless you make it happen. So a couple of things I want you to start doing. One, I want you to start going outside and getting more sunlight because you have deficiencies going on within you, and some of it has to do with the vitamin D too, and it's a lot of these things that are coming up. But spend time outside in the sun, and you definitely need to eat more of those things. If you can start you a kitchen garden or get you a little garden in your bedroom, you want to do that. For everyone out there, here's one of the things that I want to let you know, because, Brandon, you're suffering from this. There is no such thing as emotional attachment. The only thing that there's attachment to is memory attachment. The memory that you have to begin to let go of, Brandon, is the memory that you're not clean, that you're not pure, because you suffer from a memory of thinking that you're not pure, you're not clean. And as a result, you begin to surround yourself with filth. Is this true?
Yes. I want to tell you about something like I ain't never told nobody in my family, because I ain't think like they understand.
Yeah.
It's just something that always scared me. Like, I used to think that I had like AIDS or something.
Yeah.
Like, really, I still don't know. Like that's the only thing that really scared me. And stop me from, like, pursuing my boxing or, like doing anything I want to do. And that's really my problem.
Mm-hmm. And here's one of the things that I want to tell you. And I want you to hear me when I tell you this, Brandon. You don't have AIDS. Now, you can go get yourself checked if you want to verify it, but you don't have that. This is a memory that you're holding on to that somehow you believe that you're filthy and the distortion is coming in why you cannot listen. If you think about it, it is trying to tell you about a hearing aid because you have a listening problem. So the aid that keeps coming in your mind is about you listening. You don't. And you're only hearing half of the story. You've got to get yourself out of filth and begin to get into purifying your body, your spirit, your energy. One of the quickest ways to do it is to get outside in the sun. Take a shower, put on clean clothes, put on clean underwear, and go outside and sit in the sun to purify yourself, to purify your mind, to purify your spirit. Change the batteries in this smoke detector. It's going to be symbolic so that you can start to hear clearly. For the fourth time, you don't have AIDS. You want to go take an AIDS test? Go right ahead. But you don't have it. It's an illusion that's holding you back. Let it go. Clean yourself up. Clean your room up. Get yourself away from filth. Before you attract something to yourself, or manifest something for yourself that doesn't exist. You are God, and cleanliness is next to godliness. The God is you. Find the God in you. Change the battery and get some sun. Peace and love.
Thank you, Ms. Blue.
All right. Let me know how it's going. Peace and love.
Okay, I will. Bye.
Much love to him. Much love. All right. We're going to go to the next caller. Calling in from area code 323. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Cece, and I'm calling from Los Angeles, California.
Okay, greetings to you, Cece, from Los Angeles, California. Tell us, what book did you pick up and what did you get?
I picked up a culinary book.
Mm.
And from that, I got culinary and colon therapy. Like just mm-hmm. those two just kind of kept coming up.
Mm-hmm. Were you able to see Hypatia?
Yes, I saw her cooking at a kitchen, mm-hmm. like an island, and mm-hmm. she was, like, cutting up some food.
Oh, looked, wow, beautiful.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing?
Yeah.
Ah, beautiful, beautiful. Okay, so now let's talk about where you are and how you can begin to move yourself forward with everything that's going on with you at this particular time. The main thing for you is floating memories. You see, floating memories. What memories do you need to let go?
Like memories of my childhood when I was a little girl.
Yeah, the self-esteem. That damage your self-esteem.
Yeah.
Yeah. These are the memories. It's so important. Tell me, what is your name? Cece. Yeah.
Yeah, those are my initials.
CC. Yeah. What's really holding you back has a lot to do with those memories. And one of the best ways to heal yourself is through food. Food can heal you. And I'm not just talking about because we need the nourishment for our bodies and those particular things, but I'm talking about just the energy and the love that goes into when you're cooking and when food is there.
Mm-hmm.
Because for you, the main thing is that you need that sexual healing. That sexual healing is what you need. These are some of the things that have been blocking you. Those memories of those things that happened when you were a child that shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
And these floating memories, they're memories now, and they still float around with you. And how you're going to begin to release those memories is through cooking, because you love the cooking. You love to be able to share the food. It makes you feel good that you can nourish someone else and you can heal someone else. In fact, a lot of these situations happened to you while your mother was either preparing food or getting food ready, correct?
Yes.
Yes. So now you get to undo, rewrite this memory for yourself and make this experience of coming together with food a very, very positive experience for yourself, for those who love you, and those around you.
Okay.
Very powerful. Very powerful. Yeah. So you're going to be coming up with some dishes.
Yeah.
Some new dishes, Cece.
Yeah.
Yeah. Make sure you incorporate things like squash and carrots. I want you to begin to put those colors in there because it has a lot to do with the solar plexus chakra and the sacral chakra. If we look at the traditional colors for those particular areas.
Mm-hmm.
And for you, for the most part, these colors are still there. They're kind of intertwined together for you because they really are where the records are. It's a lot of those records, those memories, emotions are being held there. Self-esteem things are being there. This is also where the sexual healing energy comes in and also the letting go. So these are really great portals for you to open up, and you can do that by incorporating things like oranges and squash and corn and working with all of these different colors of yellow and also these colors of orange.
Okay.
So beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. And make sure you journal afterwards because that's going to be a very big release for you too.
Okay.
Very. Very powerful. Thank you for sharing that, Cece.
Thank
Peace
you.
And love to you.
Thanks, Mr.
All right. Beautiful. We're going to go on to the next caller. Calling in, it looks like, from area code 505. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hey, Boo. This is Sunshine Rock.
Okay. So greetings to you. Greetings.
Greetings to you.
Tell us what section you went in and what you've seen in your book.
Okay, so I went in the philosophy section,
mm-hmm.
and it was like right at the after, as soon as I came through this front door, I thought I was going to be going out down these aisles, and I think Hypatia like stopped me right at the front, and I looked to the right, and there was this philosophy section. And she kind of said, like, this is a special philosophy section. This is a different philosophy. So anyway, I grabbed the book,
mm-hmm.
and I opened the book, and I'm looking at the book, and I'm seeing all these symbols,
mm-hmm.
You know, like angles. So I'm kind of mind melding with her going, okay, so angles, angels, what's popping on? So she like pointed down to the bottom of the page at these particular symbols and basically began to explain that these symbols were actually what originally philosophy meant. It didn't, and so I'm thinking, okay, so I would have thought I would have seen these symbols in like a geometry book or a math book. And she said, no. Oh, by the way, she had like these really, really long, beautiful fingers too. But anyway, she had big hands. So anyway, she points, you know, she shows me this, and she goes, no. She says, no. You're not going to find this in mathematics or geometry. She said, no. This is actually philosophy. And if you begin to work with the philosophy, you're trying to understand. These angles, then these particular angels will reveal what it is you're looking for, or something like that. So that's kind of what happened.
Okay. Wow. Pretty amazing. Beautiful. Let me ask you, what is your philosophy?
You know, that's interesting because I am at a because of the way that I at one point thought about philosophy being, you know, basically Greek and not going any further than that, it's like a stumbling block for me. So at this point in time, my philosophy is actually more or less muddled.
So you don't have a philosophy.
No, I don't. I don't have a philosophy because basically what happened is that, for me.
So, but let me ask you this, okay? So you don't have a philosophy. Tell me about your psychology. What are the principles of your psychology?
Well, I would say that the basic principle is to of my psychology is the search for absolute or truth, or you know, absolute like facts, the underlying truth under everything. I guess that's the best way to put it. Is basically where my psyche lies. It lies in scrutinizing things.
So tell me, what is truth to you?
You know, there's another one of those words that I don't really have a place for anymore. I don't really see or feel or understand what truth means anymore. But
But hold on a second, because I want you to follow this, because I think this will be really great for you.
Okay.
If your psychology is rooted in searching for the truth, but you don't believe in truth, that's a big circle jerk. Like, where are you going?
Okay.
You don't believe there is a truth, but your psychology is about searching for the truth. What are you saying? Tell me what you're saying.
Okay, so it's crazy. So what I'm saying, I think, is that there is illusion, and there is something, you know, more akin to.
Okay, but. Hold on, and I hear where you're going, but I was just asking you because I wanted to get an understanding. You stopped in philosophy, yet you have no philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
You see.
Mm-hmm.
I asked you what your psychology was. You told me it was rooted in truth, yet you don't believe in truth.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think to tie your shoes, when you're tying your shoes, do you think about that?
No.
Because you said think.
Yeah, no. I don't think about it unless I'm having a problem tying them.
Right.
Which may happen from time to time.
Well, I'm sure for all of us at some time, you know. I'm asking you this because what I see floating above you is a lotus rose. And this rose is opening and it's closing.
Mm-hmm.
It's opening and it's closing. We know the lotus is the thousand petal flower.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I see this lotus flower, it really is the universe sort of helping you to send you more love and also send loving experiences your way. But we also have free will, and our magnetic field, our aura, our origin, our auras, helps to begin to open, and it helps to close our energy off.
Mm-hmm.
But before I get to that, let me ask you this. What do you value the most? What's the most valuable thing to you?
Happiness.
Happiness.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most valuable thing to you is your happiness.
Yeah, happiness/joy, and I don't mean personal happiness. I'm not happy unless the rest of the world is happy.
Okay, well that's interesting because you didn't say true, and yet you said your psychology is rooted in the absolute search for truth.
Mm-hmm.
But what you value the most is happiness and joy?
Mm-hmm.
Not truth?
No, truth is only a means to me to reach happiness and joy because, and truth can be painful. I mean, you know, and so the bottom line, what I'm saying is I think is to reach, in order for
me
to reach.
So let me ask you, are you happy?
Yes. Let's say basically happy, yeah.
No. Are you happy?
I'm happy. Yeah, I'm definitely not suicidal.
Well, I mean, I didn't take you to suicidal. You said out of your mouth.
I'm a sad, so I go to extremes.
Where did that come from? The reason I want to begin to think about this, because it is important, and I know that you're a brother who likes to put in work, but I want you to begin to not just put work in an empty bucket. Mm. I want you to begin to put in real work that matters to you. So when you say to me that your psychology is rooted in the absolute truth, and I ask you about truth, and you tell me you don't believe in it. So you have rooted your mind into something you don't believe in. And this is why it is very difficult for you to have a philosophy, because that is what comes from your heart, and your religion ain't none of that shit you following. That's why you're not happy.
Hmm.
This is why your lotus flower is opening and it's closing.
Mm-hmm.
It's opening and it's closing. And it's showing me where there is a huge disconnect. You tell me that you are happy with that. You good with this. You good that you have rooted your mind in something that you no longer believe in. And you're happy with that you're able to take your mind into a place that you don't believe exists for you. You good with that?
Mm-hmm.
You good with that? And you want to know why you have highs and lows.
Well, I think you just broke that down.
Yeah, but you know, this is for all of us to be able to learn from that. That lotus flower can open for you. It doesn't
yes.
have to close.
Yeah.
It doesn't
yeah,
have to close. Know what's truly rooted in your mind and know what's truly rooted in your heart. And then look at the things that you're doing. That's how you get to joy, and that's how you get to happiness.
Mm.
That's how you get there, honestly.
Okay, no, I believe you. I believe you. I understand what you're saying.
Right.
I understand what you're saying because that's my wrestling match. I know exactly what you're saying.
There you go. Well, peace and love, and thank you so much for calling in and sharing that with all of us so we can learn. So peace and love.
Love you. Thank you.
Love you, too. Peace and love. Beautiful. We're going to go to the next caller. Calling in from area code. Oh, my goodness, 6 minutes left to go. Calling in from area code 404. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Miss Boo.
You know what?
This is Griff from Atlanta.
Yes, Griff from Atlanta.
How you doing?
All right, Griff. I'm doing beautiful. Thank you for asking. Tell me what section you went into and what you find.
I went into spirituality. That was like number three, right?
Yes, it was. No,
yeah.
Spirituality was number two. 200.
Oh, was it?
It
oh, okay, okay.
Well. So you're close, 200. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but I didn't, this the weakest spirit, like I wanted my strength in this spirit quest.
Okay, well, just tell me what happened.
I got blue. I got a lot of blue colors, and I did see her. It's like she had on like a mink coat.
Mm-hmm.
She was walking in the library, and
You didn't put Hypatia in a damn mink coat.
No, it was some jazzy coat. It probably wasn't mink, the material,
real.
It was like kind of fancy. So, and I seen her face and. When you say get a book, I got my book. My book, it was moving, like the cover, and it was like, you know how clotheslines are? Like we used to hang our clothes out. There was a lady, and it was kind of like a hieroglyph. She was putting the clothes in the basket. I just kept saying to do that. But it wasn't a hieroglyph, though. It was like moving like one, though.
Mm.
So I got a lot of stuff out of it, but I just didn't get to meet her like I would thought I would, you know.
Okay, so tell me what you got.
I just got the book with a look like the cover was like hieroglyphing, but it wasn't hieroglyphing. It was like you could see her moving back and forth. But I got that. I got a lot of color blues, and I seen her. She had like a ponytail. Yeah, so I did get that out of it, though.
With the mink coat on. I'm sorry.
Oh, my goodness. It was so.
You sure you was there?
Oh, I was there. I was there, Miss Blue. I was there. You don't believe me?
All right. Okay. You might have been somewhere on Peach Street. I got to watch you, Griff. You might have slid off and went down on Peach Street somewhere.
It's an Atlanta joke,
you guys. Okay. So, all right. Hold on, Griff. We got about 2 minutes left to go in the forum, you guys. It's been an amazing share talking about raising the energy of Hypatia because the energy is here. Sunday night, you guys, we're going to be back here live in the forum, of course. And don't forget to download. And you know, don't forget to download. If you like the show, you know what to do. Go over to Facebook, Twitter. You can email me, like it. If you love it and leave a comment as well. And leave a comment and let us know that you love it, because I'd love to hear your feedback on it as well, too. And, yes, Sunday night, Esther will be interviewing me, yours truly, Miss Blue. You can go over to the Remix radio page, and you can ask questions. You can say what questions you want to ask for Miss Blue. And don't forget, the Remix holiday is coming up. And plus, we have many, many other shows coming up, too. You know, Brother Panic's coming up, and lots of others. It's going to be live here on the Remix. So for those who will not be joining us in the after hours, download, download, download. There you go. Raise that energy up of Hypatia. There you go. So peace and love to you guys. Peace and love. We're going to keep going. Much love, warm spirit out there. Much love. Peace and love to you and to everyone else and everyone who helped me put this show together. And just while I was going through all of my crazy channels and research over the years and even now, up to the information, and also big love to Siba Elder Haru Alkegulan, and also love to all of you guys out there for participating here tonight. It's been a lot of fun. We're going to keep going. I'm on the phone with Griff. You guys are there listening, and we're going to see what Griff got. So, Griff, here's the deal, Griff. You want to know your memories that you're holding on to, bad memories of relationships that you can't let go of is what's getting you. Those bad memories holding on to you. One of the good things is that you have a dreaming heart. Your heart energy is fully and completely open. In some cases, maybe too wide open. That just really takes you into different places. And sometimes it brings about self-doubt for you. And this is where the doubt comes in, where you start to question yourself. And you start to think that Griff is not good enough. Griff is not good enough, and you begin to start to reach out for other template energies and hold on to that to get rid of those memories. But that's not what's going to get rid of those memories. You still with me?
Yeah, I'm here because, yeah, I was going to ask you about that, and I guess you answered.
Mm-hmm. You was going to ask me about?
Shifting to other templates.
Yeah. And one of the things, Griff, for your energy, like I said, you're one of the things that you really haven't had to do a lot of work with, but you have, is opening up your heart. Your heart is open. That energy there for your heart is open. The color that's coming from your heart is ruby red. And so that is about passion. It's about desires. But it also breeds some of those other things in there too. Sometimes anger and sometimes frustration. Those things are there. And when that happens, you tend to almost shake shift. And really begin to move away from that energy, particularly when you find yourself sort of kind of going into the energy more like your dad. And you will look for the next available male that has any kind of attributes, and you will begin to take them on. Now, on some levels, that may be a good thing. But in the process, sometimes, you lose who Griff is. So here is how you can begin to balance that out. What do you value the most in your life? What do you value the most?
My mom.
Your mother.
Mm-hmm.
So So tell me, what is your psychology? What do you live your life by? What's your psychology of life?
Art. I believe everything is art. Everything is a picture. Everything has its purpose. Everything has its way. You know, I just look at it, no matter what it is, it's just art.
And when did you adopt this philosophy?
Just coming to understand, like, what is spirituality, and get more into knowing who I am and what I am and what I'm doing here. And it just, that helped me understand that, you know, I don't have nothing to say about nobody else's story. I just need to work on
right.
my story.
Well, let me ask you a question. Is your mother art?
In a sense, she's a...
No, I mean, it's not a trick question. You said that your philosophy is that everything is art.
Uh-huh.
So I'm asking you, is your mother art?
She's not a portrait, but, I mean, she's a portrait in my mind. She's a...
So is your mother art? Is she art?
She's art. She's not an art piece, but yes. I look at the way she managed life as art, but I'm not saying she's an art piece.
Well, I would hope not, unless you want your mama to spank your butt. So now, let me ask you, you told me what your philosophy on life is, that everything is art. Tell me about your psychology of art, of life. Well, you told me your psychology. Tell me your philosophy. What's your philosophy?
I ain't quite sure what my philosophy is, to be honest.
Okay, that's fine. Let me ask you this. Tell me about the promise you made to your mother.
Which one?
That you're going to always take care of her. But you haven't been able to do that. Griff?
Yeah. Oh, you asking? I thought you were saying. I haven't, not how I would like.
Right. So I want you to listen, because here's your gems here of what is happening. The number one thing that you suffer from as a result of having such this amazing, loving heart is that you suffer from heartaches and disappointments. But those disappointments are mainly coming from you. And it's primarily coming from that you don't keep your word. It's very hard for you to keep your word. And that's why everything starts to fall apart and they don't come together. You have to begin to start looking at what you really feel in your heart. And then ask yourself, did you keep your word? Small one or big one, did you honestly keep your word? Chris?
Oh, I'm listening. No, I mean, I know. Nah, that's my biggest hang-up that I always have been. I don't keep my word. let's go back to the show you had when we were talking about, you know, committing. And I don't know. I really don't keep my word on nothing.
Well, it's time that you start. It's time that you start keeping your word, Griff. Don't you think it's long overdue?
Yes, I do.
It's long overdue for you to start keeping your word. And the first person you have to keep your word to is yourself. But remember, you only keep your word to things you value. And there's been some things that you valued. You may not put them at the top of your list, but, oh, you've kept your word to that shit. So when you want to find out where the problem is coming in, you look at the things that you've been really committed to. You look at the promises that you kept that, for lack of a better word, is built on bullshit. You kept those promises. That's what you value. You've got to start looking at these things, wasting time hanging out, or as my uncle would say, shooting the shit. You keep your word to shooting the shit. You don't mess around when it comes time to shoot the shit. But when it comes time for those things that you say you value, you don't. You keep your word to bullshit, but you don't keep your word to those things that you truly value. So that means that you value bullshit. That's why you always in the middle of shit. And not
I used to like. I think I used to like that for a while.
Well, it's because that's what you valued, and to some degree, you still value it. And your mother knows what you value for real, and that's what gets you the most. That's the most disappointing thing. Because she knows. So it's time for you to really look at and reassess what you've given energy to, what you really keep in your word to, what you really valuing. It's time for you to grow up, not down, to grow up. Grow up out of the bullshit. And you ain't got to worry about taking on other people's attributes, because you're going to have your own that you can stand strong and true to. And you don't need nobody else's bullshit, because that's the only thing you could ever take on from anybody else anyway, is their bullshit. All right?
All right.
All right. Love you, Griff.
Love you too, baby. Thank you.
All right. Peace and love, Griff. Peace and love. All right. We're going to go to the next caller calling in from area code 414. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hi, Ms. Blue. This is Michelle calling from Milwaukee again.
Okay. Greetings, Michelle from Milwaukee.
When I got to the library, Hypatia was there. As soon as we opened up the library door, she was standing there, and she was tall, but I didn't see a peacock. She had a gold armor on.
Mm.
It went from her chest down to her feet, but it wasn't, like, real heavy looking. It just was gold. And so I went into the library to the second floor, up the marble stairs, to the 900 section, and that was the history geography section. And, I picked a book, a brown and burgundy binded book, and when I opened it, the passage, it only said, go forth. And by that time, he was telling us to come back. So I'm going back outside.
That is really, really beautiful. And for you, I have a very short message, but it's a very powerful message for you, Michelle. And that is, when it comes to these memories of holding them on, really the main message Spirit is saying for you at this time is no more worries, to let them go. That you finally come to a place where you're really, truly letting go of these old memories, of these memories that you felt wasn't a part of your birthright. You're bringing more of these memories online for yourself. You're staying more focused on you and what you're accomplishing, what you're working towards. And that's really paying off in a big way. I see streams and streams of indigo, pink, and purple light coming out of your energy right now.
Thank you.
You got it from here, baby.
Thank you so much.
You got it. You really, really do. You got it. You got it.
Have a good night, and thank you so much for your research on Hypatia.
Yes, your energy is doing it. Keep doing the work because you're moving forward. And it's showing. No more worries. This is your birthright. You can go for it. You can go. All green light means go. Go for it.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Peace and love. That was beautiful. That was. Wow. That was really beautiful. Very powerful. We're going to go to the next caller. Calling in from area code 203. You're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Peace and blessings to you, Miss Boo. This is Dakita calling in from Connecticut.
Okay, greetings to you, Dakita, calling in from Connecticut. Tell me about what you've seen in the record.
Oh, first I saw a coliseum. It was big and bright and beautiful. And before I could even touch a book, Hypatia, she was so busy with everyone else, but she told me that I must not touch any of the books, and all she kept on saying was just love, love, love. And that's all I heard was love, love, love. I wanted to go into philosophy and spirituality, but I couldn't get to the books. So,
So what? Tell me, say that last part again.
No, I said so.
You said what? Say the last part again.
Oh, that I wanted to get into the books of philosophy and spirituality. But all I kept on hearing was love, love, love. Like I wasn't supposed to touch any of the books. So.
So you didn't get a chance to touch any of the books?
Mm-mm.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a look. Let's take a look here. I want to talk about some of these memories, these attached memories for you, and how these things are impacting you. By the way, there's a lot of lilac light around you, almost like a lilac mist that's there.
Okay.
And whenever I see this, this is about those things that you need to transform in your life. You're kind of stuck, almost like in a fog. You understand you're caught in between these memories. And these memories are about heartaches for you because you've set up a memory where you're constantly, constantly looking for someone else to validate you in a relationship.
Okay.
And whenever you feel that that's not going right, somehow you lose you. You go in the mix. You go away. It's like, you lose the love. You lose everything. You can't find your own light that's inside of you.
And that's where I was in darkness when I kept on hearing love, love.
Yeah.
Well, really what Hypatia was telling you is to focus on the light inside of your heart, because your love, not someone else's love, not a love outside of you, your love is what's going to transform your life. And you have got to learn how to love you like nobody's business. Nobody should be able to love you better than you. And what's making you sad is that you have too many false expectations about something that you're not even willing to try to do for you. You've got to learn how to love you. And one of the easiest ways to love yourself is to spend time with yourself, because you don't even know who you are. So much of what has become of you is because of everyone else. And so you picked up pieces from all over the place. And even though some of these are great pieces, it's real hard to keep up a masquerade when it ain't you.
So true. I'm falling
apart.
Let
me ask you a question. I know the answer, but I want you to answer it. Are you in a relationship?
Somewhat. There's days that I am, and there's days that I'm not.
Tell me all the things that you love about this person.
When I'm able to see it, he's gentle, childlike, stern, in a sense, self-disciplined, in tune with children, and just a loving person.
Now tell me what you love about yourself without saying everything.
Okay. I love people. Well, no, let me not say that. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But I love helping. I love my rhythm when I'm able to catch it. I love to dance a lot. I love to cook. I love my laugh. I love hearing my own laugh when it's from my belly.
Mm-hmm.
I love,
so let me ask you a question, because I'm real surprised that you didn't say I love being abused.
Okay.
I mean, why didn't you add that into the equation?
That was my dark secret.
That was your dark secret.
Mm.
Well, leave it to Dan Miss Blue to expose dark secrets.
It is what it is.
But is it? Is it what it is? You feel you deserve to be abused?
It's like an addiction. I try to intellectually try to understand it, go into my heart to understand it, my gut to understand it. I don't know.
And you also think that he'll change. That somehow you'll love him enough that it'll stop. Is that what you think?
Years ago, yes, not now. And that's truthfully speaking.
So now what do you think? What do you think is going to happen? You think one day somebody's going to knock on the door and they're going to say, we're going to make it stop?
No. I know that. I knew it when I left 3 years ago.
Yeah, but she came back.
Mhm. And I, as foolish as this may sound, I don't know why.
So what is it that you're really afraid of? What is it that you're really, honestly, and truly afraid of?
Me. My own self.
Being by yourself? Being alone?
I did that. It was just me.
Mm-hmm. And what, you think you're not worthy of anything else, that nobody can love you like he's loving you?
No. I tried talking to my father about it, and it didn't help.
What do you mean it didn't help?
Because he just, I don't know, me and my father, I don't know. I tried to talk to him about it, and with my dad, when I asked him certain things, like I was missing certain things, so I went to him. When I embraced him, he never hugged me back.
Mm-hmm. So it's your father's fault?
No, it ain't. But I just went to him to try to find myself within that relationship. And I just couldn't.
So let me say this, because first of all, I want to let you know, I'm not a fan. I'm not an advocate of anyone being abused, whether it's a sister abusing a brother or a brother abusing a sister. So if you ask me, I say pack your shit and leave. That's what I say. You, every fear that you're dealing with, you're still dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you're subjecting the babies to it. And
mm-hmm.
if you don't have the strength to do it for yourself, have the strength to do it for the children.
I did. That's why I left the first time.
And then? Think about it. It's a lot of things that you can do, but think about it. Your energy is so low right now and so down that eventually what's going to happen is it's going to manifest into something you could not even imagine into this physical reality. And so, while you still have your faculties, while you can still focus, you need to decide what you want to do.
It's like wherever I go, I don't feel comfortable. And I can't keep on dragging my kids all over the place.
I would rather drag my kids all over the place than keep them somewhere where their mother is constantly being abused. You don't feel comfortable, and you trying to tell me, is your ass comfortable now? You ain't comfortable now. So what are we really saying? I know it can be challenging. I know it's a lot of things. But I'm seeing these butterflies. And I'm seeing this lilac energy dismissed. It's not a good combination there for you. It's not. It's like the ancestors are putting mist around you and the children to protect you.
So that's why they came and was praying for me in my sleep. Okay.
Need to get some help. And when you go somewhere else, you don't feel comfortable. When you go, you need to let them know that you don't know how to act. You need to tell them that you've been in a very abusive situation. And if they could have patience with you, because you don't know how to act. You don't know how to mother your children properly, and you need some help. Stop pretending that you got it all figured out, because you don't. And it's okay to reach out for help. Do you want to know when you go somewhere why you feel uncomfortable? Because you're being abused. And abused people are mentally confused. They don't make clear decisions. And they don't have good judgment most of the time because they have been subject to abuse. I say get yourself in some sort of spiritual counseling, some sort of support system, support group. And the next time you find a place to go for you and your children, let them know we don't know how to act because we've been abused. And that's the honest truth.
But I thought when I went through it the first time, it never helped.
You said what?
I went through it the first time and it never helped.
You went through what the first time?
I had to go through the whole Vera house, went through the whole church, sat down for 3 years, nothing ain't helped.
You went through the whole, did you say church?
No, well, at that time, I thought that was would have been a spiritual something.
Okay.
It was even
worse. That's fine. Well, you know better now, so do better. Do you work?
No.
Get a job. Get your kids and get the hell out of there.
All right.
Sometimes you got to do that. It's got to be a mother. It's got to be a cousin that you can't stand. It's got to be an aunt that gets the hell on your nerves that you can pick up the phone and say, me and my children are not safe and we need to get the hell out of here. And they will send for you. Take the clothes on your back and get the hell out of there.
I did that shit the first time.
Okay. Then you do it again. You do it again. You are abused. You do it again. You're not in a better situation right now. So you telling me you've given up? Then go
no.
Give your kids to your aunt, to your mother, to somebody else that can take care of them. If it doesn't work the first time, you try a different way. You don't give up. You do it again. You call. You say, hey, I need to go somewhere else, me and my kids. But you got to get yourself in some sort of therapy so you don't get disillusioned. And say, I was better off being abused. And bring your children back into that environment. All right? Email me.
All
you
right.
Can do it. You can do it.
I know I will.
Yep, you can do it. Peace and love to you. Peace and love.
You as well. Thank you.
All right. We're going to go to the next caller. Calling in from area code 843, you're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from. 843? We can't hear you, 843. We'll come back to you. Calling in from area code 908, you're live in the remix. Please tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Greetings, Miss Blue. This is Key.
Okay, greetings, Key. Where are you calling from?
New Jersey.
New Jersey. All right. You want to tell us about what section you went into when you went into the Library of Alexandria with Hypatia?
I'm not sure. I think it was a section like with a lot of words, like, you know, like a dictionary type of section.
Okay.
But anyway, my book was bright red and it had a purple tassel hanging out of it. And the words that it said was, look with the eyes held in utmost perseverance.
Interesting.
And when I came in, Hypatia, she was like busy, so she just pointed for me where to go. I went up the spiraling steps, and then like she greeted me on the way out.
Okay, all right. And so tell me what you said that, what did the passage, oh, I hear the baby. What did the passage say again?
Look with the eyes held in utmost perseverance.
So the memory for you, a lot of love energy here. The memory for you here is about love and happiness for you. Is holding on to memories of love and happiness. And it's like you're trying to recreate them and having a really hard time of recreating love and happiness in your life.
Agreed.
Yeah. And this is really because it has a lot to do, and I think we talked about this with one of the other callers, is because of perception.
Yeah.
And it's really that love that you had and that happiness, it's like you're trying to find it to recreate it again. But one of the things that I want you to know is that love and happiness came from within you. So you're never going to find it outside of you. You're never going to find it outside of you. So those memories of love and happiness, although we would think they were beautiful memories, you have to know that you were a part of that love and happiness. And that wasn't just the other person bringing the love and happiness.
Now, are you talking about, like, in a relationship with a man or, like, with my family?
That is going to be, that has been your story for both, for you. That has been the story for both. One of the things I constantly want you to work with is a rose quartz crystal.
Okay, yeah, I really wanted one so bad. And I have a little bit on my necklace, but it's a whole chakra necklace.
Well, definitely, I want you to begin to work with that because this is really a time that you're in. It's for you to begin to embrace your power, your beauty, and the wisdom that's within you. And know that these qualities are things that only come from your heart. They don't come from your mind. So all of these thoughts of being played in your mind is not where you need to begin to look for these qualities, but really connect with that energy of your heart. You can meditate with it. You can also sleep with it underneath your pillow at night and keep it close by you. It's going to be very, very important because of the baby and your nursing too, correct?
Yes.
Yes. Because you don't want to keep passing these thoughts because I see them going into the baby. And the baby is going to hold these memories, these sad memories of these love and these things of playing this over and over in your mind. So particularly when you're nursing, you want to make sure you have that rose quartz crystal on your person. You can even take it and put it, get a smaller one, and put it inside your belly button. And I want you to begin to repeat phrases of love. I am love. I am happiness. Love and joy is all around me. It flows through me. It flows through me. And really begin to give yourself some positive, magical statements to connect yourself to, particularly when you're nursing, because all of that memory is going in through the breast milk and going into the baby. And so this will be powerful for you and for her to do this during this time. So, beautiful.
Okay. I just want to say I pulled the card for today, and it was Wisdom, Feminine. Mm-hmm. It was Moot Vulture, Feminine Energy.
Ah,
so you just, you know,
beautiful.
Expounded for me.
I love the Kim deck. I love it. So beautiful. And get yourself a group of vultures. Women,
I know.
Older women, younger women, have them around you. This is the time to really begin to net. If you have a mocha moms near you, a lot of the mocha moms are really, really good. And you can meet with them and talk with other women and get counseled and all of these different things. So, you know, the vultures are the ones who have the wake. They cause the awakening when a group of women get together. They cause an awakening, you see. They help that energy to be rise up in you. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Thank you.
All right. Well, peace and love to you. And let me know how that goes. All right.
Okay. Good night.
Good night. Peace and love. All right, you guys. Well, I think we're going to do it right there. I really have enjoyed this share about Hypatia and just her amazing work that she's still doing on the planet and really the amazing work that's happening inside of the records. And like I said, I'm constantly, she's one of my teachers inside the records. We've worked together, shared some thoughts and all kinds of things. So I'll be bringing you guys more information. We'll be talking about the Binbai tablet and really how to break that down and be able to look at that. And so we can use all of this information for this time that we're in here, the origin, you know, in this very, very time of light, the time that we're in, this crystal age that we're in. We've gone through many different ages, but this crystal age that we're in, you know, this is definitely not about gold because we know that is limited. But one of the things our ancestors also used to look to the sand and look to the grain of sand and recognize that our energy, our power, everything, our magic lies in every single one of grains of those sands, which was endless. It was really, really endless. And so all of this energy, especially when it comes to the emotion and that flame, that spark that lives within all of us, it is time. It's time for all of this energy to come back to its original origin. And definitely Hypatia on this very day, or yesterday, I should say, was the day that she made her transition. But she's here to really raise this energy up again. And so it was an honor just to connect with you guys here, for me to share some of the things that I've been working on, a part of my work. And really this amazing connection with Hypatia and all the work that's going on now. So do some research, you guys. Keep doing your research. Keep doing your work. Keep knowing your magic and being a magic maker. If you like the show, I want you to like it. If you love it, I want you to love it and download, download, download. Peace and love to you guys. And see you guys on Sunday night. Don't forget to go over to Facebook and post those questions. If you have some questions you want Esther to ask me, go over to Facebook and she will post it. We have some more great shows coming up for you guys in the month of March, as well as the Remix Holiday, which you'll get to hear more about that too. So peace and love to everyone out there, and much love, Warm Spirit. And until next time, you guys, peace and love, peace and love, much love.